If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
Then he says, likewise don't fit here. So we'll remove likewise, because we don't use likewise a lot in modern, postmodern speech. And really, it means in the same manner. But we don't use that. We don't use that term. So what we're going to say is we're going to look at this passage and say, this is how the Spirit works. But in order to make our exegesis sound, we have to back up a verse or two. And since everything is about hope, and then he says, likewise, how does the hope of the previous verse tie into the likewise? He says, likewise, the Spirit prays through us, and we hope he does. Because as he further teaches us, we don't know what we should pray for. You think you do. You have a big test coming up on Tuesday. It's the test that will determine your pay scale. You found out that it has 150 questions. They're multiple choice. And you're going to have 20 minutes to complete it. How do you pray? How do you pray? If you had to face that test on Tuesday, how would you go to God and pray? Bring it to my remembrance, somebody is saying. Someone else would pray, Lord, help me to remember everything you taught me. Bring it to my remembrance. And someone else would pray, Lord, I pray that you just make it an easy test. Let me find the answers from someone who took the test online. So I'm going to go on and I'm just going to enter in the words. And it'll pop up because there's some other person who has scanned the test and put it on the internet for you. How do you pray? We don't know. You assume it's the will of God that you pass. You assume that because you're Western. You believe God's behind every victory. But his greatest glory comes in defeat. Only the Holy Spirit can take your failure and turn it into a promotion. How do you pray? Lord, give me all the answers. How do you pray? We don't know what to pray. We go to the hospital. Someone's sick. We pray for their healing. We don't know what to pray. Have you ever prayed their release into the will of God? Maybe it's their time. On the one hand, we teach it's a time to die. But on the other hand, we want to hold people past their time. And now they're no longer in quality of life, just quantity. How do we pray? You can't pay the mortgage anymore. Should you pray that God continues to let you have what you can't afford? Or do you pray, Lord, now that it's that way, let me get out of it and get something I can afford? How do you pray? Apparently, the Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul to teach us a lesson that is so important. He said, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be understood. My God, the paraclete concept comes into fruition. It finally becomes crystal clear that he is inside of me to help me with deficiencies. Deficiencies of character, with behavior or deportment, and most importantly, with spiritual deficiencies, so that I don't even have to have the burden of prayer. When I kneel in the presence of God, I can spend time in worship because the Holy Spirit will then take those things that are inside of me, in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul, and begin to deliver them to the Father with groanings that cannot be uttered, so that you and I won't have the pressure of trying to articulate. The problem that I confront. Do I pray I keep the job? Do I pray I get another job? Do I pray I stay here? Or do I pray I move? Is God trying to send me a message by not giving me what I pray for? And how should I pray about this situation? Jesus said the paraclete is there to help you so that you will not be confused. What is it that he wants me to do? Isn't that important for us? Yes, you and I spend more time on the doing. What does he want me to do? Father, I want a new job. Why? Because I'm not getting everything I need on this job. Well, God is saying, but you're getting what I want you to have. So I need this, and I need that, and I need the other. And God is saying that I'm showing you all of this so that you can stop telling me what you need, and I'll give you what you need. And your needs are identified by what you have. So if you need it, you'll have it. If you don't have it, you don't need it. Because he promised to supply what you need. So if you don't have it, then I guess you don't need it, but that's what you chase. You chase what you don't need and ignore what you have. Watch this. Life is nothing but a series of progressive thoughts that come from your socialization and your environment. The more you grow, the more you begin to crystallize in your thinking process. And those thinking processes, if we're not careful, can guide us away from the richness of the Word of God and the understanding of being part of the kingdom of God. I demonstrate. How many of you are saved? Okay, hands down. Now, those of you that are saved, how many of those of you that are saved, how many of you are only children? You're the only child. Raise your hand. That's your perception. You just said you were saved. You have a family. How can you be an only child in the family of God? Because your socialization is, I thought you were talking about selfishness. I'm the only child of those parents. I just asked if you were an only child. But your understanding is, I'm an only child. Now watch this. You created a life for yourself as an only child by making excuses for behavior. I'm selfish. Why are you so selfish? Because I was an only child. I don't know how to share. Why? Because I'm an only child. I like to have things my way. Why? Because I'm an only child. Well, only children, they're irritable because they haven't learned how to fight with siblings, so they've had to fight to themselves. Only children have a higher rate of schizophrenia because they've had to talk to themselves for so many years that they bring that person along with them. Well, those are all excuses because now you're part of the family of God and you have brothers and sisters and you even have mothers and fathers. There are no orphans in the family of God. What happens? You must now shift your thinking. I'm part of a larger family. We may not share physical DNA, but we share spiritual DNA. And this man, though he is the assistant pastor, he is still my brother. We have the same father and different mothers. And what's in me flows in him. Now, what do you think is going to happen when the rapture comes and we all go to heaven? Moselle Lambert will no longer be my mother. Eric Lambert will no longer be my father. The moment she died, she stopped being my mother. She became my sister. When I go to heaven, she can no longer tell me what to do. She will embrace me. She will remember what I was, because the Bible said we will know even as we are known, but our relationship will be different. When the rapture comes, Sister Lambert will no longer be my wife. She will be my sister, but watch this. Since there's no sorrow in heaven, the relationship she will share with me as a sister has to be better and more fulfilling than that as my wife. Because God don't want me walking around heaven going, oh, man, golly. He don't want me up in heaven looking at her going, I can't do that when I get to heaven. So apparently the replacement is much better. Are you hearing me? When you became a Christian, the relationship with your new brothers and sisters, if you listen carefully, are greater than your relationship with your natural brothers and sisters, because you share a genetic bond that cannot be broken. And so the Holy Spirit comes to teach us to pray, because we don't know how to pray, because our realizations, our thought processes are wrong. We don't see that God put that person in a position over you to build you, and you're fighting him or her every step of the way. Everything they do is wrong to you. Everything they do is a problem for you. Don't you think God knows that? And the question that you should ask, you shouldn't ask the question, well, why are they over me? You should ask the question, why is my response this way? Well, they make me feel like I'm incompetent. No one can make you feel like anything. That's an assessment you made. But then God allowed that person to come into your life because it was time to make you grow. Amen. Now, I'm going to close with this. The Bible says tribulation works patience. How many of you believe that? So that means patience is good, right? But who among us prays for tribulation? So God says, since you won't pray for it, and since it's good, when I was a child, I had to take castor oil for certain ailments. I had to take castor oil. I was sharing with someone, Deacon Miles, I think it was, I was sharing with him. I said, when it came time to give me cherry-tasting cough syrup, all Mama had to do was say, drink this. That was good. But when it was time for the castor oil, people had to hold me down. And she had to grab my face. And I never forgot who held me down. I'm going to visit them when they get older. But they would hold me down because she had to pour their stuff in my mouth. You see, we often refuse what's good for us. So we're not going to God and say, God, give me some tribulation today. Lord, let somebody just aggravate me today. He said, nope, that's factored in, because I have a level of anointing coming to you that if you don't have this tribulation thorn, you're going to become arrogant. Amen. So you go into the bank and the teller's nasty. You stop to get gas and the gas attendant is nasty. There's no devil to bind. God sent it. God sent it. And like Joseph, we must embrace it.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.